Let's pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So it's 1988, and the plastic Apache helicopter soars through my room. It drops G.I. Joe into Cobra territory. Three G.I. Joes, to be exact. Beachhead, Sci-Fi, and Major Bud. Well, his name was actually Major Blood, but Mom didn't tell me that because she didn't want me going around with a toy named Blood. So the Joes creep past Cobra territory, the sentry there stationed on the pillow, Dreadnought. Major Bud swivels his head and motions Sci-Fi forward with his bionic arm. Sci-Fi crawls towards the terrorist in his neon green suit. He levels his laser gun at Dreadnought's ponytail, and the terrorist is down. The three commandos move forward under the cover of a blanket shadow. The Cobra Fortress rises just ahead, just behind the powder blue stuffed dog that Dad won at a carnival. My six-year-old fingers are trembling as I hold my G.I. Joes. It's all about to go sideways. And suddenly, Cobra Commander ignites his jetpack. He rockets above America's heroes. His nasal voice shouts out its command. Cobra, attack! And the battle of the century begins there on my bed. Waves of Cobra and Joe collide on my bed, the plastic bodies flying in all directions at the sound of artillery. The F-16 with a shark on its nose screams past with slipstream in the cockpit. The Cobra Rattler plane rises to meet it, shooting off a round of fire. Yellow missiles streak into the fray. And now Cobra Commander is in a kung fu fight with the G.I. Joe's own commander, Hawk. He swings his plastic fist.
Death to the Joes!
Bullets whine past. In my six-year-old mind, I am in the battle and it is all glory. The war is on. Glamorous and heroic bloodshed above the fuzzy blanket. The only way to defeat Cobra is to fight fire with fire. Sisters and brothers, sometimes in our culture, we feel like we're in the middle of a G.I. Joe versus Cobra battle. Our fingers tremble. It's all about to go sideways. Our foes swing their plastic fists.
Cobra, attack! Death to the Joes! Death to the Christians!
We hear in England of police officers arresting Isabel von Spruce, the British woman bowing her head in silent prayer outside an abortion clinic.
Your thoughts are threatening people.
We remember all of the venom coming out of the Episcopal Church in years past. The way of life that we love, the tradition that has been passed down, is under attack in our culture. Our presiding bishop, Bishop Sutton, spoke of this in his presiding bishop exhortation at General Council. And at this point, there are no literal bullets whining past our heads, but all of the cultural despisers make it feel like the battle of the century.
The church is a place of hate.
And why do they hate us? Fear surges through our veins. We imagine ourselves on the front lines in glamorous and heroic bloodshed above the fuzzy blanket. The only way to defeat Cobra is to fight fire with fire. And St. John's readers felt the same fear surging in their veins, because in their case, there were literal Cobra commanders, Roman centurions and judges shouting out in nasal voices,
death to the Joes! Death to the Christians!
St. John himself ended up in a prison colony on the island of Patmos, where he would die. And there were plenty of Christians that he was writing to who were killed in mob violence and in Roman arenas. The apostles' readers were quite literally in the battle of the century. And no doubt as the fear surged in their veins, there were plenty of them who saw themselves swinging a sword in glamorous and heroic bloodshed. The only way to defeat Cobra is to fight fire with fire. But St. John the apostle caught in the midst of a brutal culture war, shakes his head at our childishness, at our six-year-old way of thinking. The saint instead teaches us, all of us, ancient and modern, the true way to fight the culture war, the Jesus way. Do not wonder, brethren, writes St. John in our epistle reading, do not wonder that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and truth. St. John acknowledges that the world hates us, that there are plenty of Cobra commanders screaming down through the ages. He knows danger far more than we ever have in 21st century North America. And yet his mind is not set on fighting fire with fire, but fighting fire with love. As the bullets whine past, the Holy Spirit gives the apostle the vision of that lonely hill outside of Jerusalem. Behold, our commander in the midst of the battle. Roman spears prod him up the dusty path. Lines of scarlet bloom through his rough robe. On Golgotha, he begs his Father to forgive all of the Cobra commanders, all of his enemies, us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus fights fire with love. He lays down his life for his friends and for his enemies. And this morning, the Holy Spirit, through St. John, commands us to participate in Jesus' way of fighting the culture war. When the world hates us, when they scream at us on social media, mock us on the television shows, and hope for our demise, the triune God commands us to participate in Jesus' love. St. John writes, "This is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who keep his commandments abide in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit which he has given us." How are we supposed to respond to the world's hatred? By throwing all of who we are on Jesus and loving one another. In other words, the answer to the culture war is love. For the second Sunday in a row, the answer in our lectionary is love. The 19th century Anglican Archdeacon Melville Scott observes that so important is love that a single Sunday is insufficient for its treatment. And our church gives us a second Sunday of love on which we chiefly consider what return we may make for the love of God. Nothing but love is adequate. We must ourselves reflect the love of God in the whole character and temper of our lives. In the midst of a world that hates us, let's be honest, love is hard. We want to fight fire with fire. Like six-year-olds, we want to make Cobra pay.
But the Holy Spirit shows us how to fight the culture war. Hold on to Jesus and love one another. Cling to the crucified King and participate in his love for the church, praying together, eating together, being together. And then with Jesus, learning to make special prayers for our enemies. Maybe praying the litany over them. That's actually a very good idea. Our litany reads, "That it may please thee to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord." And so in the midst of Cobra's assault, sisters and brothers, hold fast to your faith in Jesus. Love one another and pray for your enemies. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.